are found to be having stress test positive, and then naturally you will need people to learn about what are the risk factors of heart attack, then the whole organization should be on a top gear to organize such training programs for risk for heart attack and prevent them. Otherwise it will be a major problem for you, because at young age people are likely to die and the morbidity will lead to reduction in productivity of these employees. Then comes departmental analysis, where you are supposed to find out in a particular department if there is some problem which is occurring. Say suppose in surgical department you found that overall the absenteeism is increasing day by day, or people are getting heart attacks more or diabetes more, or people are more stressed and stress related diseases are occurring, or addiction is increasing day by day in this particular department. Then you will have to find out by doing the stress audit to find out what is the reason for that. And then if you feel that most of the employees in this particular department are having lot of stress because of the negative mental attitude of the surgeons of this department, which is leading to overwork. The surgeons are operating 14 hours a day just to get their name and fame that they are doing so many operations in a day for a particular thing. So in that case you will have to send them, and if they are very rough and tough, if their behavior is such whereby all the subordinates are getting stressed out mentally, emotionally, in that case you may have to send these employees of all the department people for stress management program. Probably their superiors who are responsible for that, they may have to be sent for work-life balance program, they may have to send for relaxation, meditation and sensitivity training. So this is how you arrive at what kind of program is good for that particular department. Then job or role analysis. Find out for a particular job if there is a new equipment or new technology that has come up world over, and because of that we are lagging behind in the competition. In that case, all the people who are performing that particular type of job or role, they should be sent for a particular training program where they will be equipped with the knowledge and skills of the new equipment which you can bring in the hospital to improve upon the services and increase the patient satisfaction level, and in the global competition you can remain ahead or at par with other hospitals. For that, job or role analysis is important. Then you do manpower analysis, which can be arrived at by performance appraisal of individuals, by getting some grievances from others, by analyzing the customer complaints, that is patient complaints or the relatives complaints, by observing yourself certain behavior of people, whereby you can find out that these are the people who are having some or the other problem as far as the knowledge is concerned, or the skill is concerned, or the mental attitude is concerned. So some people may be having inadequate knowledge, especially the newcomers. If they are not able to work proficiently because of the inadequate knowledge, then they should be sent for knowledge based programs, training, whereby they acquire the proper knowledge and skill, and then they will be able to perform well. So the complaints level will go down, or the time lag which was there will go down, and they are going to work efficiently. If you found that there was a customer complaint for two or three nursing staff who were behaving very rudely with the patients, in that case maybe these nursing staff should be sent for a training program where they should become more compassionate. They should understand the problems of the patients by empathetically, and then their behavior should change. If you find that a particular group of people, say sweepers in a postmortem department, all of them are alcoholic or drug addicts, in that case you may have to organize training program for them, how to get de-addiction done, how to manage their stress without use of alcohol or any of the drugs, so that they can become more efficient and effective in their services without adopting the lifestyle of going in for alcohol or any drug addiction. So this is how manpower analysis is going to help you, which kind of training program should be organized for which particular people so that they become proficient where they are lagging. Or performance appraisal, every year when you do, you can find out based on the job analysis what was expected of him, and now you find out actually what he has done. So where is the gap? To fulfill that gap, you may be sending them for a training program which is going to enhance their knowledge and skills regarding that particular thing, and then next year or within next 3 months or 6 months you can assess their performance level goes up and the rating of performance goes up. So training need analysis, as we have seen, for group or organizational analysis, what you can do, first you should know what are the organizational goals and objectives. Find out what are the organizational climate indices. Overall, if there is more stress all over the organization, overall if we find that the morale of the employees of the organization is low by doing the morale survey, then find out what is the cause of that. Then find out the efficiency indices of overall all the people. If you found that 60% of people are not efficient, then find out who are not efficient and then organize program for them. You can also get from exit interviews certain aspects of organizational analysis or group analysis. If you find that from a particular department more number of people are resigning, then when you take exit interview, you come to know that these are the managers of this department who are very rude, who are very much task oriented, and they are least bothered about the people. Whenever the people are asking for genuine leave, suppose their parents are admitted in ICU but still they are not given leave, or some of them are being harassed for minor things or being punished for minor things also excessively, in that case there is some problem with the superior, who is more of type X manager, one can say, as described by McGregor in theory X and theory Y, which we learned. In that case we may have to send these superiors for counseling sessions whereby they can learn more empathy. The sensitivity training may be done for them to get an insight into themselves, and then their behavior will change and overall the resignation levels from that department should go down. So this is where exit interviews are going to help us. MBO or work planning systems will tell us how we are going to have the objectives to be achieved for the whole department or the whole organization, and for that what are the things which are needed. If we find any lacuna in that overall, then we can send the people for training program for that particular aspect. Quality circles. Now what is this quality circle? Quality circle is a concept which has started in Japan, where the 10 to 15 employees from the same workshop used to get together once a week or once in 10 days and put forward the problems of that department in front of a facilitator and then decide about how to solve this problem themselves, and then they will give the solution, and some educated people from that or those who can take initiative, they are told to prepare regarding the problem and the solution in a PowerPoint presentation, and then they are supposed to present this to the higher management, and the facilitator is going to help them in preparing all that if required. And then if it is feasible, the higher management is going to agree to that solution and give the necessary resources in the form of finance, equipment, etc., and the problem will be solved, which will help in improving the analytical skills of the people, the workers themselves, the communication skill, the presentation skill, and team building will automatically occur by that. And hence quality circles is a concept whereby people are learning themselves and improving upon and solving the problems. So even group and organizational analysis helps that. Then customer feedback will tell you if consistently you are getting feedback from the customers that we are not satisfied with this particular department's work, or we are not getting the checks of our services within the stipulated time of 2 weeks or 4 weeks, then one can find out where the problem lies and one can then get the crux of that by doing the fishbone diagram to analyze how it can be solved later. And then a group can be sent for the, some people from each department who are responsible for this can be sent for a particular type of training program so that this can be sorted out. And overall, if we want to bring out change in the organization, as I told you earlier, if you want to computerize the whole hospital or any other newer technology you want to adopt to the mass level at major levels, then you may have to send most of the people for organizational training like that. So this is how you can do group or organizational analysis. While at individual analysis, how you can do it? Performance appraisal, as I told you, when a person is given the objectives, he himself sets them with the immediate superior. At the end of the year, the performance appraisal interview is taken by the superior, whereby self-appraisal is done by the individual. The immediate superior has got all the notings down throughout the year regarding some of the critical incidences, and then he does the performance appraisal regarding that and tells the person, gives the feedback to the person that this is what rating he is giving him. And then based on the job analysis, based on the actual performance, based on the standards that have been put forward at that time and the weightage given, his rating is given, which will give us an idea where was the gap, and to fill that gap he can be sent for certain training programs regarding knowledge, skills or attitude. Work sampling will tell us, at random we are taking some sample of the whole work and then finding out how it is working, and if we find that some of the things are not up to the mark, we can change that and then do the whole work accordingly and improve the work. So there also you can send the people for the training program. By doing a performance interview, you are finding out the gaps, what is required. Similarly, you can have questionnaires for the people. An attitude survey will tell us whether overall there is a positive mental attitude or negative mental attitude. You can have training progress, observe and see whether whatever training has been imparted, are they going in improvement of the individuals as required, or still further training is to be imparted. You can give the rating scale to this and observe the behavior of the employees who have undergone training, and by the immediate superiors you can ask, you yourself can observe some of the times, and if you find that it is still not up to the mark, then they can be sent further for the training. So the types of training can be entry training, when a person enters the organization, usually everybody needs training. Initial training, when an employee joins the hospital. Job training, the increase in knowledge and efficiency. If you find that the person's efficiency is not good enough for the type of work he is doing, then he can be sent for training, whereby more acquisition of knowledge and skill will be occurring, whereby his learning curve will tell him that now it is he has become more efficient, and now his speed will increase in his work and his efficiency will increase. For training for promotion, gives encourage. When you are going to promote a person, before that for 6 months or a year, if he has been rotated in other department where he is going to look after promotion, he learn the nitty-gritty of that department, and that's how he gets trained, and it is going to encourage the person for further knowledge and skills. Refresher training is a short-term training courses for old employees to keep abreast of the latest development. They are already knowing most of the thing, but latest development has occurred. So for that, there can be a short-term training for them. Now let's understand what are the various types of trainings. One is job instruction training or on-job training, which consists of four steps. First, you prepare the learner, you demonstrate the task, have the worker do the task and follow through. That means put the worker on the job, correct him, support him if necessary. Now let's understand this step by step in little more details. Prepare the learner. When the new entrant comes for the job, he is a fresher, he has become graduate from a university, or he is a MBA from one of the prime institute from where he has done MBA and now he is coming here. So first you tell him that find out what is the level he has got for performing that particular job. Say in a hospital, suppose you get a paramedical staff who is going to teach the nurses regarding first aid. So find out what is the basic knowledge he has got regarding imparting first aid. Then find out if there is something which is required to be learned further because of his pedagogy, way of making people understand regarding this is not good or whatever. Then tell him that and take a written test or the practical test initially to find out at what level he is. Say out of 100, suppose he is at 60, which is not good enough. So you keep that as a record and then show him exactly whatever points he has not done well in the test, as well as overall other points also to improve upon. Tell him to do that on his own. Suppose he is teaching you cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Tell him to perform on the mannequin himself, and at each and every step, if there is a minor mistake, tell him to correct that in front of you and tell him to do it again till he is doing 100% right. Okay, so that's how you are demonstrating the task first, how to do it, and then telling him to do that task and finding out if there are any mistakes and then telling him to correct them in front of you and then telling him to do it again. When he does it 4-5 times properly, then only you can leave him alone to do it and observe it from a distance and then follow through. This is how you are giving on-job training. And then tell him to pass the test again, where 100% he should be able to get, or at least more than 90% he should be able to get, and give him support whenever it is necessary and frequently check what he is doing. Now let's understand about management development program. So there are various methods of training, on-job training we have seen. There can be lectures, there can be role plays, etc. So let's go into more details about management development programs. Now what's the aim of this? Making available managers and executives with requisite knowledge and skill to meet present and anticipated future needs of the hospital. That means it is mainly for managers and executives. Training programs were mainly for technical skilled people, say first aiders, say lab technicians. Those who were doing more of technical work, you needed them to undergo skills training, that is training programs. While for executives and managers, you need management development programs so that they acquire the knowledge and skill to meet not only the present requirement, but they are the people who are going to manage people in future and make them understand various things and get work done from them. And that's why even the future requirements can be taken care of in this kind of management development program. The characteristics of management development program, if we see, it's a continuous process. It's not that once you teach them, it's over. Till they are there in your hospital, right from executive level to the junior managers, to the middle managers, to the higher manager, continuously they are supposed to undergo the various management development programs. It's a vehicle for attitudinal change. Usually you don't go for attitudinal change in case of supervisors or the skilled people. You should have a positive mental attitude always, because you are going to manage so many people who are below you, and hence management development program is the vehicle for attitudinal change. It's a stimulant to higher competencies. They have got certain competencies. Say, they know quite well regarding communication skill, regarding interpersonal skill, regarding problem solving skill, and maybe initially some kind of leadership skills. But when they go higher and higher, you need to have more of leadership skills, need to have more of strategic management skills, need to have more of positive attitude skill, and hence it goes on from lower to the higher management, more and more attitudinal change, and getting higher and higher competencies in whatever competencies they were having. So even though they were having 60% of good interpersonal skills, now it should increase to 80% and 90% like that. So even higher and higher competencies they should develop. You should regularly give them feedback of what they are doing, how they are achieving this. It eliminates functional deficiencies, plus it also leads to self-development of these managers. What are the principles of management development programs? First and foremost, it is comprehensive for all the healthcare professionals. So all the managers in all the departments, whether it's a surgical department, medical department, pediatric department, radiology department, all the healthcare professionals, it's comprehensive for all of them. Integration of management training with work. So whatever work they are doing, it should be integrated with the management of people who are working under them. So the training should be given in improving their all skills regarding the work that is necessary. It should be progressive. It's not that only once you have sent them for management development program once a week and then it is over. Every year you may have to send them for such programs periodically. And it should go in for higher and higher levels as they go further and further. It should be collaborative, that it's not for one individual. There is many things which are in a team that is to be achieved. What is team basically? T-E-A-M, that means together everyone achieves more. It's a synergistic thing where 1 plus 1 is not 2, it can be 1 plus 1, maybe 3, 5 or even 11. So here, whatever management development programs you are organizing, it should be more of a collaborative thing whereby people can work in team synergistically and achieve better results for the hospital. It should be relevant to the hospital's objectives or goals that are put forward in their mission statement. So it should be customized to that particular hospital rather than general. It should be related to individual needs and pace of learning. Every individual is different and everybody's learning pace is also different. And hence, when you are developing the management development programs, you have to see to it that each and every manager is getting what he needs to get. So individualized, customized management development program is necessary, and it should be given in such a way that he can learn at his own pace. It is not that everybody can learn the whole package within a week. Maybe some people out of this 10 people, maybe 3 people may require 15 days training, while remaining 7 can acquire the required knowledge and skills within 7 days. So for these 3 people, you may have to extend this program if required. Training must be monitored and evaluated. It is not that you find out some of the training needs by training need assessment of the managers. You develop the training objectives. You find out the place and faculties for giving the training program for 1 week or 10 days, and it is over. And I think that all the managers have acquired the necessary skills or got the required development they needed to achieve. It cannot be like that. One has to monitor it, one has to evaluate it, So evaluation of training program or management development program is very essential, and this evaluation should be right from beginning. The assessment should be done thoroughly well. The right kind of faculties should be taken. The right venue should be there. It should not be within the premises of the organization where all the time they are disturbed by the day-to-day work, so that they are going at a remote place in a natural environment with beautiful organization and amenities and facilities available, where they are cool, where they don't have anything else to get disturbed by their family members or even the work level. And then the right kind of faculties are going to give them the outbound training if required, so that they absorb maximum out of that. And then whatever they are doing, right from beginning, the objective should be set. What is the expectation of these people from this program should be written down on the board. And then at the end of the program, the facilitator or the trainer has to tick mark each and every objective, whether it has been met or not, or met up to what extent for them, and then accordingly revise the program for the next set of managers if required, or they may be recalled for one more program if required. So training must be monitored and evaluated at every level. Even the facilitator or the trainer has to be evaluated by the people who have learned from them. And then secondly, when they go and start doing their work, that has to be evaluated by their immediate superior to tell whether they are implementing those things and they have improved their performance as compared to what it was earlier and to what extent it has been done. So monitoring and evaluation is important. So let's understand some of the training methods which are commonly used for management development program. There can be formal management education, there can be management seminars, there can be job rotation, there can be lectures, there can be role playing. The sensitivity training, delegation and promotion, these are the seven ways in which seven training methods have been used. Let's understand each little bit in detail. Formal management education. Usually these are full-time programs in universities, say MBA. Now, those managers who are working in the organization for say 15 years, 20 years, they can be given 2 years leave from their job if required with half pay or full pay, the basic at least with DA, and the fees also can be given by the organization or the hospital, and they can be sent to these universities who are topmost in this field with MBA in that particular field in which they are working. It can be MBA HR, MBA marketing, MBA finance, or MBA information management, whatever it is, or MBA in the logistics and supply chain management, depending on the post they are holding in the hospital. So it can be formal management education for 2 years or 1 year based on the university program that is available in that area, which is best for that particular field. They can be sent for that, and of course if they fail, they will have to bear the cost of that. They should get at least 60% marks in that, because the management is bearing all the cost for them. Management seminars, where they become the members of the associations of those particular fields, where regularly the seminars are organized so they can go and learn about the best practices in other hospitals, how they are managing these functions. For hospitals especially, we have seen the National Institute of Health and Family Welfare, Voluntary Health Association of India, Indian Hospital Association. These are the three prime institutions where they are regularly organizing the workshops and seminars. Overall, there are 30 such institutions who are there in the field for hospital administration. Job rotation, it is for developing the senior manager's careers, where a senior manager can be rotated in various departments so that they get insight into the working of those departments, and when he becomes gets a promotion and go to the higher level where he is supposed to manage all those departments, already he knows well about them, so that he is able to manage well about their department's functionality, as he knows now the nitty-gritty of how to manage those departments, since he has been rotated in those departments for 3 to 6 months in each department now. Lectures, it's a new methods and policies to a large number of trainees at a time can be given through lectures by management faculties, can be from university. The advantage is that large number of management trainees can be taught in a classroom within a short time about all the things, but the disadvantage is usually there is minimum participation in that. However, it can be overcome by the question answer session, which can be regularly kept during the lecture and after the lecture, whereby people can ask questions and they can be answered, or even the faculty can ask some questions to them if required to know the understanding of the subject that they have got. Role playing, it is mainly for supervisory categories where human relation skills can be learned, and here you are practicing in a reality situation. Now what is that? What we mean by role play? Suppose you are a X-ray supervisor and there are 10 X-ray technicians working under you, and at times the HR manager gets a hint that these 10 X-ray technicians are not happy with the way the supervisor is handling them. At times they are being told to come at odd times, at times they are harassed by not allowing the leave, at times they are unnecessarily running from one place to other, doing some other work than the basic work they are supposed to do, and things like that. Then what they can do? They can call 2 to 3 of these X-ray technicians and 1 or 2 of these supervisors for outbound training program, and then overall the functionality of the department is discussed in the lecture method. The importance is told regarding the work to be done only particularly regarding that department, and no personalized work should be given to anybody. In general, it is being told so that the message goes to the supervisors what they are supposed to do. And then a script is prepared whereby in other hospital, not in their own hospital, in other hospital, say one XYZ name is given who is a supervisor, and there are say 5 to 6 technicians working under him and how they are doing. And a role is to be played by the technician who is a supervisor of that hospital, and the supervisor of this hospital is supposed to play the role of a technician. So it's a reversal of the role which is being given to them. And then in that script they have kept certain aspects of that in such a way that the message is given whereby they automatically learn what is the feeling that they are getting as a technician, what feeling he will get if the superior is behaving like this. So automatically that will give them the idea about practically a reality situation, how it occurs, what are the feelings that normally a technician is going to get if the superior is behaving like this. But now the superior is in the place of technician in this role play, so he gets idea about that automatically, right? So this is how role playing is going to improve in the human relation skills. So they will become more empathetic after that, they are going to take care that no personal work is given and all that. Then sensitivity training is mainly for higher management staff. It is basically for self-awareness, where it is going to integrate the behavior, values, needs, feelings with the expectation of social environment. Here they receive and give feedback about others in a group. Well, it's a highly specialized training as far as the sensitivity training is concerned. And to do that, the HR manager who is going to facilitate this kind of sensitivity training should be expert in that. What happens here, a group of say 8 to 10 top managers are going to go for outbound program where they are there. They decide the topic. They are going to discuss the things where facilitator is there. In this what happens, the interaction occurs among these managers where they are open to give feedback without any restriction to each other. They are at top positions. No subordinate would have given them this kind of feedback at all otherwise. But here they are in open, they are all of more or less equal positions that way, and based on the interaction that's occurring, the other managers are giving the feedback to them which will be realistic, which may hurt them emotionally so much if they are not ready for it. So at times there are cases where the facilitator, if he has not handled the situation well and taken into confidence people and mandated upon gradually this thing, some people may commit suicide after knowing that this is what may be happening in my dealing with my subordinates and all. This kind of sensitivity training, which gives them self-awareness regarding the feelings within and what the other people are feeling regarding him, all that clearly comes out of that in this 4 to 5 days or 1 week program of sensitivity training. And it's really wonderful if they really change and they come out as totally a changed professional in a way, if they have taken it with the right perspective. So it's a wonderful sensitivity training which is there for management development. Then there is delegation. That means whatever you are doing, it's not possible for you to do everything by yourself, and one has to teach one subordinate, make him understand that, make him do under your guidance, and then let him do it on his own autonomously without your interference and without you doing any micromanagement for that. Of course, whenever he needs support or guidance, you should give him, but otherwise let him do it, whereby you become free of that. Of course, initially you may have to give little more time and energy for making him learn the thing properly and thoroughly, but once that is done, lot of time will be saved for you in future, because otherwise you yourself will be doing all these things alone. And once you are delegating this properly, it creates wonder for you and it makes you ready for the next promotion if you are delegating it properly. This will improve the confidence of the subordinates, this will improve the decision making power, and this will inculcate even the leadership skill in the subordinates. So it will develop managers, it will develop leaders for your hospital, and succession planning will be easy for you.